Now, the IFI and Bloomsday Film Festival takes place at the Irish Film Institute, Temple Bar, from the 14th to the 16th of June. Among the many events is the screening of award-winning surrealist filmmaker Charlie Kaufman's recent short film, Jackals and Fireflies. And for the first time in Ireland on the big screen, his 2020 movie, starring Jesse Buckley, I'm Thinking of Ending Things. Charlie Kaufman has written and directed numerous hit films, including Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Being John Malkovich, and Adaptation. And he joins me now to talk about his work and his upcoming visit to Dublin. Hello, Charlie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm great. Much better now that I'm talking to you. I was just telling them that whenever I'm not a film buff, but I like movies. And whenever people ask me about my favourite, Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind, and Being John Malkovich are always there in the top five. So it's a real pleasure to talk to the man who was involved in creating those. So thank you, thank you for the joy and the entertainment.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jackals and Fireflies. We talk about that first because it's a very interesting thing. It's 20 minutes short, and is it a sort of a visualization of a poem? And which came first? Was the poem commissioned, or was it a prose essay, or what was it?
It's a poem by Eva HD, who is a poet whose work actually appears in I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Uh-huh.
And she's somebody that I met at a writer's a residency, and she wrote the poem, and I thought it would make an interesting movie, and we got Samsung to finance it on the condition that we use one of their phones to shoot it on, and that's what we did. It follows a woman walking through the streets of New York and Toronto and interacting with people and thinking about her life.
And thinking about their lives as well, because she eavesdrops a lot.
She does, yes, yeah. She does indeed.
Do you do that?
Yeah. As much as I can, I try to hear conversations on the street. I'd say as I've gotten older, my hearing has gotten worse and it's a little more difficult for me to catch stuff, but I try to catch what I can. Yeah.
Yeah. And then extrapolate and imagine and that's what she does. And it's, I'm fascinated firstly that it was all shot on a mobile phone.
Yeah, it was. It was all shot on their newest phone camera thing by Chase Irvin, who is a brilliant cinematographer, and he did it with us. And I think it looks pretty good.
It does. And there's less intrusion the less technology you use.
It's interesting that he rigged the phone, so it's a bit bigger than the phone. It's got lenses on it and all of that stuff. So it's more conspicuous,
right?
Than just a phone would be. But yeah, I mean, people kind of ignored us, and we got actual people on actual streets in New York and in Toronto. And I think it helped that it's a smaller rig.
It's an ode to New York as well, isn't it? It's a it's a loving poem.
I think it is. Yeah, I think Eva really enjoys it here. She's been here for a little bit now, and she likes the city a lot, and she likes the various neighborhoods. She walks a lot all over the city.
And you pitched Jackals and Fireflies for the IFI and Bloomsday Film Festival.
We submitted it, and they accepted it. So we're thrilled, and we're happy to be coming there to watch it with an audience.
And there's, I suppose, there's parallels to Bloomsday and Ulysses.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm walking through the streets of Dublin, walking through the streets of New York. Yeah. So that works, doesn't it? That works.
I think it works. Yeah,
yeah. And you mentioned that Eva HD also wrote a poem which was featured in Things. I'm Thinking of Ending Things. And Jesse Buckley reads that poem in the movie.
Yes, she does.
And I know she's her own, but she's brilliant in it. Jesse Buckley.
Yeah, I was looking for somebody to play this character, and I didn't know who she was. Somebody recommended her. A friend of mine recommended her, and the actresses auditioned by reciting the poem, because I thought it was going to be the most difficult thing for the person to do in the film. And you know, Jesse got the poem the day before, and she taped herself and she sent it the next day, and it was committed to memory, and it was just so brilliant. And I I thought, you know, I watched her in Beast before I, you know, when she was recommended to me, and she's amazing in that movie. And then, you know, I hired her immediately, and I'm so glad that I did. I love her.
What is it about, you know, the stars, the really good actors that separates them from the rest? You have to be able to spot it, don't you?
I think so. I think working with Jessie and stuff that I learned after working with her, but I suspected going in, is that she's so responsive to everything. And so everything that happens on the set, she interacts with. So it's not a set performance. What somebody gives her, what another actor gives her at various moments becomes part of her performance. She's just completely present. And I think that's the sign of a really good actor.
Will we play her reading the poem from the movie? We'll do that, and we'll talk to you after that.
Coming home is terrible. Okay. Whether the dogs lick your face or not. Whether you have a wife or just a wife-shaped loneliness waiting for you. Coming home is terribly lonely. So that you will think the oppressive barometric pressure back where you have just come from with fondness. Because everything's worse once you're home. Think of the vermin clinging to the grass stalks. Long hours on the road, roadside assistance and ice creams, and the peculiar shapes of certain clouds and silences with longing because you did not want to return. Coming home is just awful.
So that's her as Lucy, and her boyfriend Jake. Herself and himself are making a trip out to his parents on a really bad winter's evening. There's a snowstorm. Yes. And all that. And you have a fascination with what goes on inside the human brain.
I guess I do.
You do. Sure. Yes. Guilty, should you? Guilty as charged.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah. And where does that come from?
It's where I live, right?
Yeah,
I know we all live in our.
I know. Yes, yeah, that's true.
In our brains.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So when I'm trying to think about what I know or what I think or what is true, it's through this very subjective filter, which I there's no way for me to step out of it. I think that is true of everybody. So it's interesting to me. And you know, I have a lot of, I don't know, I won't say neuroses, but I guess you could call them that. And so, you know, and somewhat, you know, circular thinking. And so I go over stuff a lot, and it's fodder for my work.
Is that not all of us, Charlie?
Again, I can only speak for myself because I only know my experience. Yeah, but you know, people do seem to respond. So I'm figuring it's somebody, you know, maybe not everybody, but there are people out there who seem to have similar experiences in the world.
Yeah, being human, that sort of heading fascinates me, you know, the human condition.
Yeah.
What it is and what's normal and what's not normal and what's sick and what's not sick, and all of those things are fascinating. This movie explores that, because both characters have a flimsy hold on reality.
Yeah, and I think there's sort of a reveal as you watch the movie, which perhaps I shouldn't
It's non-linear.
Yeah, but it is even more inside than you might think it is when you start the movie.
Right, that's as much. No spoilers from Charlie here. An amazing performance is, and Toni Collette's in it as well, as Jake's mother. So mental illness then. So although you say you have neurosis, I don't know you that well. I'm assuming you're not mentally ill. You know,
I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, but that's the thing. That's my question. Yeah. That's my question. I mean, so how do you understand it, or you know, what is it?
This isn't therapy, but I would say that, you know, depending on how you define mental illness, I'm subject to things that could be considered that. I mean,
okay.
You know, depression and anxiety and those sort of things.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. As you said before, it is sort of part of being human, at least in this culture.
It is part of being human. And so you were, I suppose, you were lauded, you know, huge successes, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Being John Malkovich, critical acclaim, and box office success as well. So you were...
Not so much.
So were you a darling of Hollywood or not? Or were you on the fringes?
I was for a moment.
All right, yeah. Okay.
I mean, I was... I think, you know, when Being John Malkovich came out, no one knew who I was, and there was sort of like, what is this, you know, with this sort of exciting, and people were interested in, and, you know, and then I got to make a bunch of movies, and, but yeah, I don't know if I am that anymore. I don't know if that's something that can be maintained over, you know, a few decades, but yeah, I mean, there was a moment at the beginning, probably around 1999, when people were interested in me, partially because I was somewhat mysterious, I think, to them.
And you, like, there's loads of brilliant dialogue in Thinking of Ending Things, and you explore so many things. But what you've been talking about there, because you put the words, I imagine these are your words, into the characters' mouths, and you're going, all groundbreaking work in science and art is done by young people. Old people are the something of youth. I couldn't make out that word.
Maybe the ash heap.
Yeah, the ash heap. What's that? Does
it
that
might
mean?
Be, it might be the ash heap.
What?
Like, you know, the garbage dump.
The garbage. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And is that how you feel? Is that because you're 64 now?
I am. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for remembering.
But I wish you didn't, Suju.
No, it's fine. Yeah. You know, I've certainly heard it said. It's not a thing that I invented. I'm still working. I'm still trying to work. So it doesn't serve me to sort of take that to heart. And of course, there are, you know, many, you know, writers and artists who became prominent later in life and certainly continued to work later in life. So I will continue as long as I can.
So making movies for Netflix as opposed to Hollywood, because I'm thinking of Ending Things is getting a big screen, obviously, during the festival. But it appeared on Netflix first. So as a filmmaker...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it was supposed to have a theatrical run, but it came out during the pandemic.
Aha.
But it was always going to be like, it'll be in theaters for a little while and then it'll go on to Netflix. It was made for Netflix.
Yes, and that's my question then. So made for Netflix, does that change how you work as a filmmaker?
No, not in any way. I mean, it was a film. I was happy somebody was financing it. It happened to be Netflix. They were very nice to us. They let us make this film as we wanted to. They stayed out of our way, and I'm pleased with the film. I loved the people I worked with, and I loved making that film.
And is it less possible to do that than in the Hollywood system, whatever that is? You know,
I don't know that there's much of a distinction anymore. I don't know. People do this. People make films for Netflix. People make mostly for streaming now. I mean, I guess there are a few people who get to have theatrical releases, but I don't really care about that.
Okay.
I'm just happy that somebody allowed me to make a movie.
Like the movie that won the Oscar this year, Everything Everywhere All at Once, I immediately thought of your movies when I saw that.
I haven't seen that movie.
Have you not?
I haven't.
I want to sit in a room with you watching it just to see your reaction.
I met the guys who made it fairly recently. They were lovely. But I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, and what did they say to you? Did they say, Charlie Kaufman, you're our hero. You inspired us to make this movie.
Well, I mean, I kind of hate to say that, but they did.
Hey!
They did. Yeah. I mean, one of the Daniels, they're both named Daniel.
Yeah.
One of the Daniels said that they've been stealing from me for forever. So, and I was just that was very kind of him and generous of him to say. And I like them very much.
Mm.
It was at the Writers Guild Award ceremony, and they won an award for that movie at that thing, and they actually thanked me or mentioned me on stage, which was also very nice.
Go,
so, yeah.
And you won a Lifetime Achievement Award, didn't you, at that?
I did, yeah, thing. I did.
And the Writers Guild are on strike at the moment. And in your acceptance speech, I don't want to paraphrase and get it wrong. So about the relationship between writers and Hollywood, or writers and the industry, what did you say?
I'd have to paraphrase it too. I don't have it in front of me. I basically said that we need to take ourselves seriously, and that we are, they need us, and we don't need them. Uh-huh. Which is we're always sort of begging for work. We're always put in a position as writers as kind of being less than people in the industry. Don't really take us seriously. And I think we've started to internalize that idea of ourselves. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, at that event, all of the jokes from the stage were about how pathetic we are as writers, because that's what we're told. Mm. And I think that if we had a certain kind of inner strength and a sense of our importance, that maybe we could sort of shift the equation a bit.
Yeah, well, this is a terrible pun, but like, you have to rewrite the narrative, don't you? You know, the
That's what we do. Yeah, that's our job description.
Yes.
Yeah, literally. Is,
yeah. Any fear? Would you have any fear about AI? And because it, what has happened in the last 6 months?
I have a lot of fear about it. I mean, in every realm. Mm. But yes, for the type of work that we do, and I do think that. Again, I feel like the reason that AI could replace us is because we've allowed ourselves to become a version of AI. Uh-huh. You know, we write what they tell us to write. Mm. We write, you know, what AI does is it looks into sort of precedent and history and pulls out a story, you know, and pulls out dialogue. And that's what we're basically asked to do. We're asked to do formulaic work. And so we can be replaced by AI. If we continue to do that work, but if we do human work, if we do things that are felt and believed and reflect our experience, I don't think that we can be replaced by AI, because AI is a non-thinking, non-feeling, non-entity. You know,
yeah.
It's a database.
Yes,
And it will never love. It will never die. It will never. Feel anything.
It'll never be depressed.
It can only replicate.
It'll never be depressed.
It'll never be depressed. No. It'll never be depressed.
It'll never hallucinate. You know, all of these things.
Well, they say that it hallucinates, but I don't think it's hallucination the way we experience it as people.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think, because it's not a living being.
No. And one of the stipulations in the Writers Guild's demands is that I don't know how you'd police this, but that the industry can't allow AI to learn from what has been written. That's surely impossible, isn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's. I think I'm not entirely completely up to date on what it is that they're asking. I think they don't want AI to be used to write screenplays. But also, yes, what you're saying is true. It comes down to plagiarism. That's what AI is, right?
Yeah. Because it is plagiarism, it has to be, because if it doesn't exist somewhere, AI can't have it.
Yeah.
So it is.
That's right. It's
all plagiarism, yeah.
Yeah, it actually is plagiarism in the sense that you would plagiarize a paper for school, because what you do is you pull from all these different sources, so it's not conspicuous that you've done it. And that's what AI does when it's writing a dialogue or a script or something.
Would you argue that that's what we all do? From our own,
I could.
Yeah, we could. We could, but that's another.
That's what I'm saying about, like, if you are true to your actual experience, what's happening now? What's happening at this moment in your life? You know, what you are feeling now. I don't think AI can compete with that. And sure, you know, there's going to be things from other people's work that you're influenced by or borrow from. And I think that that's fine. But, you know, if you read a really good poem, I feel like that's what AI cannot do.
Cannot do, yeah.
And if it could do it and it could fake it in a reasonable way, I would be suspicious of it. It wouldn't move me. If I'm moved by a poem, it's because I know that the poet has experienced something.
But here's the thing, Charlie, you know, in a sort of a blind taste test, or the equivalent of whatever the poetry equivalent is, you know, I suppose we would like to think we could spot something that was written by AI and by a human being, but could we? That's the thing. I don't know.
I I suspect that we could.
Right.
Okay. Certainly at this point we could, but right. Of course, I don't know. I haven't taken that test.
Okay. Right. Forever in Studio will do with
it. But I think it's a bad idea in general for human beings to give over their creativity to a computer, because it's sort of what we have as people. We have, we have this desire to create. We have this desire to reflect the world and our thoughts on the world. And it's what makes us human.
I know, but unfortunately, some of us unfortunately have a desire to make money, and...
Well, yeah, it's all about money.
Yeah.
AI is all about money.
Yes, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question.
Well, people who go along to see you are going to be entertained and engaged, because you're a very interesting man and you've achieved so much. So you're in for the IFI and Bloomsday Film Festival. You're doing Jackals and Fireflies, and there's a Q&A with Ava HD, who wrote the poem which the movie's based on. That's on the 15th. And then you're also on the 16th. There's a showing of I'm Thinking of Ending Things with Jesse Buckley. And again, you're there for a Q&A after that. And that's in the IFI in Temple Bar in Dublin. And
Just to be clear, Jessie Buckley is not going to be there.
No, she's not going to be there. Jessie Buckley will not be there, but Charlie Kaufman will be there.
She's in the movie.
Okay, right. Right, Charlie, lovely talking to you. Mind yourself.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.